Okay, good morning. Let's see. So I'm not in Davis. Is anyone, I see at least some people managed to make it here. Is anyone there in Davis and having these power issues that everyone's been complaining about? Okay, good. So it's coming back for some people at least. Good to hear. Okay, so I think the TAs are aware that people are having these problems and are adjusting due dates accordingly. Okay. Well, anyway, so my thought for today is to continue with properties of functions which are limits. So again, we've been looking at these different notions of limits, pointwise and uniform and C1 are the main three for us. And we were looking at some properties. Actually, last time I started to prove this theorem here that 9.13, maybe I'll just write it again, but I decided instead of finishing the proof, I'll just assign it as I did. It's now listed as one of your homework problems. So let's see, here it is, 9.13, a function is, a sequence is uniformly Cauchy if and only if it's uniformly convergent. Okay, and let me just write it again. So theorem 9.13 is a now homework problem 6.2.5 from the second edition. Okay, so that I'll let you finish up that that proof. But let me just note there are two ways to state it. So it says that if a sequence of functions Fn, so this is some sequence in our function space of just all functions, which I've been writing as Fun for all functions on AB. Then it is Cauchy if and only it's uniformly Cauchy if and only if it's uniformly convergent. Okay, so then Fn is uniformly Cauchy if and only if it is uniformly convergent. Okay, and this actually has another name, which is shorter, so I'll just write it. So equivalently, this norm that we noted was equivalent to the uniform convergence, the soup norm, is said to be complete on functions. So this space of functions, fun of AB, is said to be soup norm complete. It's just another way of saying exactly the same thing, just shorter. Okay. All right. So that's, as I said, now a homework problem. Okay. So next I want to look at other things that are soup norm complete, basically. So other properties that are preserved by some types of limits and not by others. And so we wanted to understand which types of limits preserve what kinds of things. So the first class of functions are going to be the bounded functions. So a definition. So I'm going to call BDD for bounded on some interval AB. So this will be the bounded functions on AB. Okay, and let me give you two ways of writing it. One using the soup norm and one just using absolute value. So this is equal to the set of all functions in fun. So just functions. Okay, and then there's some restriction, and that restriction is that they're bounded. And so that means that there exists some bound. So there exists a some number B, it would be real. Actually, I guess it's gotta be positive. So that whenever I have an X in the domain, that's supposed to be round, by the way, Then we have that our function is bounded. So the size of fn, f evaluated x, is at most b. Okay, so that's just the definition. Another way to say it is that we can write it as a set of all functions such that this norm exists. And we could also say is finite for exists, or we could write is less than infinity. So those all just mean exactly the same thing. There's three ways to write that this limit, that this soup exists. Okay, so those are it's another class of functions. And so the theorem is gonna be much along the same lines as 9.13 over here, except now instead of fun, I'm gonna look at these bounded functions, all right? So if we have a sequence of functions, f sub n, which is now in this class of bounded functions, okay, so we have these bounded functions, which is, and it's also converging uniformly. To some function f. Okay, well, we know over here that if we have it converging uniformly, it's going to convert to something, some function. Okay, but more is true in this case, and that's that that function has to be bounded. Okay, so then f is also bounded. Okay, so that's an extra fact that we have about this limit. Okay, and so another way to say that is just like over here, we can write that equivalently. The bounded functions on AB form another set, which is, again, soup norm complete. Just again, another way to say it. All right, so I want to prove that and then come up with some examples. So one of which is this beautiful example of Weierstrass that was, if you got here early, I was playing a tape, a video of that. Okay, so so the way that I want to prove this, it will involve the norm. You don't have to, you can look at the proof in the book. See text for one. For a proof not using a soup norm. But I will use it, they're approximately equal. This one's slightly shorter, I guess. And it also enables me to note the following fact. So note, if we have, two functions, then the soup norm of their sum, okay, I claim that this is at most, well, this is the largest value that their sum takes on in absolute value, and so the largest value that f takes on and the largest value of, that g takes on, they might, if they happen at the same place, then you'll get equality, otherwise it'll be strictly better. So this is always less than or equal to the biggest value that f takes on plus the biggest value that g takes on, right? So there's, and this is actually a rule. Whenever you have a norm, you require this. So this is always required of norms. And it's called the triangle inequality. Okay, so you might just check that it works for the C1 norm that I defined also. Okay, but we'll come back and play with that later. Okay, but in any case, it's true, and it's clearly true in this case, and let me just use it now. So if we have a sequence that's uniformly convergent and all the terms are bounded, then I want to show that the limit is also bounded. So let's do that. So if we have, as in the hypotheses, these Fn converging uniformly to F, what does that tell me? So then we have this Fn, of course, the same thing is that it's converging in supernorm, just the same thing. So we can rewrite it as for every epsilon greater than zero, we have some n. Let me call it n sub epsilon. And then whenever I have a little n that's at least as big as this big n, then we have the norm, supernorm in this case, between our function f and our function f sub n is bounded by epsilon. Right? That's the definition of having a convergence. Okay. And the other thing we know is that each of these Fn's is bounded. If also each Fn is bounded, then that means that for all of these n's, we have that the norm is finite. So the supernorm of Fn is finite, right? That's just what it means. Okay. And so now we can just combine these two things. To find a soup for the limit. So we want to combine, we want to find that this is finite, right? That's our goal. And so we do that. So this is equal to, and as usual, we're going to add and subtract the same thing from both sides. So we're going to get the F minus. Okay, and which one am I going to choose? Well, I'm going to choose one where the index is large enough that say I have, let's say, capital N sub 1, okay? And then I'm going to add and subtract the same thing, so no different. Okay, and actually, now I can make it, let me change color so I sort of do two steps at once here. So I can also make it less than or equal to where I put these I split it up into two pieces, and that's just using my triangle inequality here, that the norm of the sum is bounded by the sum of the norms. Okay, so I can just split it up. Any questions about that? Okay, and so then this is less than or equal to and I dropped my soup. Let me stick a soup in. Those are both soup norms. Okay. All right. Now let's see. So that first one, actually, it's a little bit tricky to track through all this notation, but can anyone see what the soup norm of the difference between F and F sub capital N sub one, what the biggest that can be is? So that's trying to figure out all this notation. Right, and which is what is epsilon in this case? So we have that that this is true, but I chose a specific n. That's right. So so epsilon, which was equal to one. Right? So I chose n sub one. Okay, and I could have chosen something else, but I chose one, and so that's going to give me a one there. that comes from that one there. Okay. All right. And then the second one is, I'm just going to leave it alone. But this is less than infinity because all the capital, all the norms of F sub n are less than infinity. Okay. So we're done. Okay, any questions about that one? All right, well, I'd like to just play with some examples of this. And I want to give you now an example of a beautiful function of Weierstrass that is bounded and that we obtain as a limit of functions. Then I'll give you a little bit of time in the breakout room to find the bound on the norm. So the plan is for the breakout room question, I wanted to do two things. So one is find a bound for the norm of W, which I'll define in a minute. Okay, so something. And then the other thing that I want you to do is find a sequence of functions f sub n converging pointwise to f with each supernorm of f sub n finite, but not f. Okay, so we can't have that happening if it's converging uniformly, but we can if it's pointwise, and so it's good to have some examples. So those are the things I'm going to ask you, but first I need to define this function w, okay? So let me define w. I'll put it over here. And it's there's a whole bunch of functions that are like this, but I'm going to give you a specific one. All right. And so it goes as follows. So definition, and this is 9.24 in the text. Okay. And it's the following. We have a sequence of functions, and we're going to take it to be the limit. So we'll set f sub n to be the sum of x, to be the sum j equals 1 to n. Okay. Of 2 to the minus j cosine of 3 to the j times x. Okay. So I claim that this sequence converges uniformly. In supernorm. Okay, and since it does, and let me just give a name and call the limit w of x for Weierstrass. Okay, so that's a proof. All right, so it's also kind of a nice picture. So this is what the picture of that function is in the text. So there's a graph of that function, so you get some idea what it looks like. And there is a parameter that you can play around with. And so this is a picture of what happens when you adjust that parameter. So there's that three in the two and the three, and you can change those around. And you get these different functions as a result. But in any case, let me go back to the notes. So if we want to check that this is has a limit, but what do we have to do? Right, so I have a sequence of functions. The claim is that it converges. So we had a theorem, right, that said that sequence converges if and only if something, right? And that's the one that you're gonna prove for your homework, right? It says that it converges if and only if, so it's uniformly convergent, if and only if it's uniformly Cauchy, right? So it's enough to check that it's Cauchy, all right? So let's do that. So proof by 9.13, it suffices to check that this sequence F sub n is a supernorm Cauchy. Okay. All right, so how do we do that? So that is, so we need what? So for every epsilon greater than zero, we want that there exists a capital N sub epsilon, M, let me call it M, let me use M's for the Cauchy, M sub epsilon, so that whenever I take a pair N and M that are bigger than or equal to capital M, then we have that the supernorm of little f sub N minus little f sub M is less than epsilon, okay? So how are we gonna do that? All right, so to do this, all right, let me just choose M sub epsilon with two to the minus M sub epsilon being smaller than epsilon. Okay, I can always do that, right? If I take M to be big enough, then two to the minus M is very small, smaller than epsilon, okay? And compute. Okay, so what are we supposed to compute? So we're supposed to compute this sup norm of Fn minus Fm. Okay, now each of those is just a sum, right? So I sum up to n and then I continue on up to n. And so the difference is just the sum from n to m, right? So let me just write that out. So this is equal to the sup norm of the sum where j runs from n plus one all the way up to little m of this, whatever the term is. In this case, it's two to the minus j cosine of three to the j x. And we wanna take the sequence. So that's just writing out what that difference is. Is that clear? So just write down the difference of those two sums, and those are the terms that are left. The rest cancel out. Okay, so now can anyone see, how am I gonna get a bound? What's the biggest that absolute, maximum can be? Exactly, right. So because this is at most one, right? So this is somewhere between one and minus one. It's just a cosine. And so we know that that's bounded between one and one. So we can just kind of erase it and we'll get a bound. So this is less than or equal to the sup norm, the sum, j equals n plus one to m of two to the minus j. But that's just a number. So instead of sup norm, I can just write absolute value. Let me do that. Okay. And let's see, and that's at most two to the n. If you remember your geometric series. To the minus n. Okay, and from above here, that's less than epsilon. And we're done. Okay, so we have that this is Cauchy and therefore a convergent. So we're done. Okay, so are there any questions about this function? Again, it's kind of a bizarre function. We've defined it in this way that we say we can see that it exists and we're going to prove facts about it, but we don't know a lot more about it than that. Okay, because we did it in terms of this sequence. Okay, well then what I want you to do is, like I said in the breakout rooms, to do these two things. To one, to find a bound for the sup norm. So by this theorem I just finished proving here, 9.14, the sup norm of W of X is finite. And I want you to find a bound, okay? So whichever one you have time for, to either find a bound for this or to find a sequence of functions which converge pointwise and are bounded, but the limit is not bounded, okay? So those are the two things I wanna do. So any questions about that? I think I'll give you like 5 minutes to play with those things.
Thank you.